The imprisonment of migrants and refugees around the world is a growing human rights problem. South Korea is one country that does not escape its problematic relationship with immigrants. Sunuk Lee is a new member of the Starkraven Media Collective. She grew up in South Korea and recently returned from a visit there. Hi, Sunuk.
Hi, Tiffany.
So thanks for joining the collective and joining us on the show tonight.
Me too.
So can you describe the situation of migrant detention centers in Korea?
Oh, yes. There are about 500,000 migrant workers in Korea. Roughly half are undocumented. They are called illegal migrants by the government. The Korean government has tried to crack down on undocumented migrant workers, and many migrants are injured and even killed in the surprise migration raids. On top of this, if they are caught, they face terrible conditions and human rights abuses in detention centers. In Korea, there are 16 migration offices and 214 detention centers. Every immigration office has some cells to put arrested migrant workers in. Those arrested stay for 1 or 3 days, and then they are sent to the foreigner detention centers. They stay there until they are sent back to their home countries. The direct English translation of these detention centers is Foreigner Protection Center. This is, of course, a very ironic name because these protection centers are basically prisons. The detention center in the city of Cheongju was renovated from a prison. When I went to there in 2007, I was scared. You know, old and gray buildings and high walls, checkpoints, CCTVs, and warning signs. And the other detention center in the city of Hwaseong was built recently because of the increasing number of detainees. So it looks modern and clean, even though its cells have steel bars and detainees have to stay in the cell for almost 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Wow. So can you give us a bit about the background and overall situation of migrant workers in Korea?
Migrant workers first came to Korea in 1988, the year of the Seoul Olympics. At this time, Korean manufacturing and construction industries were suffering from serious labor shortages, as Koreans were avoiding these so-called 3D jobs, dirty, dangerous, and difficult. The migrant worker population increased quickly over a short period, to the point where nowadays there are roughly 500,000 migrant workers in Korea. Yeah, this is about 1% of Korea's population. I know this sounds like a very small amount, but the effects on Korean society are really huge because Korea is one of the most ethnically homogeneous society in the world. So the rapid increase in migrant workers has had a big psychological effect on Korean society. While migrant workers in South Korea represent over 90 countries around the world, most came from Asia developing nations such as China, Mongolia, Vietnam, Thailand, and the Philippines, and so on. There are also small communities of migrant workers from African countries, but the majority work in jobs classified as low-skilled work, generally manufacturing jobs that are, you know, small and medium-sized factories, construction work, and in the irregular service industry. About one-third of all migrant workers in South Korea are women, and their numbers are increasing. Most migrant women are employed in manufacturing and the service sector, with some employed in sex-related industries. Women face all of the barriers faced by male migrant workers, and plus the added barrier of gender discrimination, including considerably lower wages for equal work. Mm-hmm. Of course, the situation of migrant workers in Korea is familiar throughout the developed world, and it's not simply a problem limited to South Korean government. From the U.S.-Mexico border to Fortress Europe, repression of migrant workers doesn't stop the movement of people who are desperate to support their families back home, but it does make them more easily exploitable.
So what is the Korean government's policy on migrant workers?
Like migrants around the world, migrant workers in Korea experience unsafe working environment and low and unpaid wages. But there are also a number of specific features of the South Korean system. Migrants in South Korea have come either as industrial trainees or under the government employee permit system, which places them at specific factories and makes it hard for them to move freely to other jobs without specific permissions from their employer. However, this system is definitely an improvement over the former industrial trainee system. Under the trainee system, migrant workers were considered to be student trainees rather than laborers, meaning that they were not protected under Korea's Labor Standards Act. So many human rights groups called it modern-day slavery. Advocacy groups in Korea held many militant protests against the trainee system. This system clearly wasn't working because many migrants fled their assigned workplaces and worked under the table. In 2002, approximately 80% of migrant workers were undocumented. So the government replaced the trainee system with the employee permit system. Migrant workers are now given one-year contracts, which can be renewed annually for a maximum of 5 years. After 5 years, a migrant worker is required to return to his or her, you know, home country.
So I take it that if they end up staying more than 5 years or become undocumented, is that when they end up landing inside a detention center?
And then some are, some cases are a little bit complicated. Employers don't give, you know, specific permission to move, you know, another, you know, workplaces, you right away become undocumented migrant worker.
Wow. So can you tell us about some of the problems at these detention centers?
You can divide the problems into two groups. One comes from the arrest process, and the other is about the problems in the detention centers. First, there are many cases of break-ins and random questioning by immigration officers. By law, if an officer wants to stop a migrant worker in a workplace or on the street, the officer has to show their ID card or ask permission to investigate a workplace. It is illegal for an immigration officer to carry out an investigation without showing their ID or a search warrant. However, in reality, migration officers often just break into homes or factories or stops non-Korean workers they suspect on the street without showing their ID or a warrant. Sometimes they act as if they are arresting a serious criminal. So according to a study, 50% of detainees were arrested at their workplaces, 26% were on the street, and 13% were arrested in their homes. Even though it is a requirement, 7% of immigration officers fail to inform migrant workers that they are under arrest. Mm-hmm. As well, only a few detainees are informed of their right to hire a lawyer or ask for legal aid when they are arrested. So I want to introduce a case. So a study by the National Human Rights Commission of Korea describes one Chinese man who worked at a factory and lived with two other Chinese men. He was undocumented, but the other two guys have, had working visas. One night, they were woken up while they were asleep in their beds by some strange man. They were terrified because they thought thieves had broken into their home. The guys asked the Chinese man for their ID and arrested them. They didn't inform them they were immigration officers. So the next day, the two Chinese men who had working visas was released while the undocumented Chinese man was arrested. As I said, many undocumented migrant workers are arrested on the street. Most migrants are subjected to random questioning by force, so they can't refuse. I can tell you my friend's story. A while back in Korea, I ran into my Mongolian friend on the street. He said that his mother was arrested on the street, so he had to visit his mother. So I was shocked because his mother got married to a Korean man, so she had a permanent residency, in Korea. So, but my friend explained that his mother hadn't brought her ID with her when the immigration officer stopped her on the street. His mother was released on the following day, but she never received an apology. So I can say that the most serious problem is probably inhumane ways of places where migrants work by immigration officers. There have been many cases of migrants getting injured or even killed when they try to escape during a raid. So whenever the government thinks that the numbers of undocumented workers are too high, migration officers are sent out to raid workplaces and homes of migrant workers. So I can read you the testimony of a 33-year-old Indonesian man who tried to escape during a raid at his factory.
Okay.
During a work break, I heard someone yell, "Run away!" Migration broke into the place. I was scared, so I just jumped down about 4 meters to the ground below. I felt a sharp pain, but I was terrified, so I just kept running for a while. I was bleeding, and I fell down on the ground. Soon, 6 immigration officers surrounded and looked down on me. They looked at my ankle and then left me there without any proper treatment or calling 911. I was scared that they might come back to arrest me. I tried to run away again. I was bleeding so much, so I became faint. When I finally went to the hospital, I needed surgery 3 times.
Wow, that's very severe.
Yeah, so severe, but it's not only case. There are a few cases, raids. As I said, there are also cases of death when migrants try to jump out of windows in order to escape during a raid. It can be said that these inhumane raids are a structural problem, because each immigration office has a quota of arrest that they need to make. So every officer has to arrest a certain number of undocumented workers or he will get in trouble.
Yeah. So can you tell us about the actual conditions at the detention centers?
According to our report, the average space for a detainee is 2 square meters per person. there is not enough space for a person who has to stay inside for 24 hours a day. And over 70% of detainees are detained for less than 10 days. But 10% of detainees are detained for over 20 days. And about 20% for over 30 days. There are even cases of migrants being detained for over 10 months. There are a few reasons why a migrant may be detained for such a long time. The first case is that the migrant worker has no money to buy an airplane ticket because the detainees has to buy their own tickets back to their home country. But the Korean government only pays for the ticket if a detainee is not able to afford a ticket after a very, very long time. So some migrants have not been paid their salary when they are arrested. But it is not easy to collect money you are owed when you are in a detention center. So the migration office helps to you get the unpaid salary in order to send you back to your country as soon as possible. Yeah. The third case is if you haven't been able to collect your important stuff, such as clothes, photos, and money in your place. But most migrants are arrested suddenly, so their friends and co-workers have to go to their home and collect their stuff. But they have to send it to the detention center. But usually undocumented workers have a small social network, or their friends are also undocumented workers. So they don't want to visit the immigration office to deliver the stuff. Yeah, so it's a problem. So, and the last one is some detainees are held for a really long time at detention centers because they apply for refugee status. Generally, it takes over 1 year until you get a result. Basically, you apply for refugee status in a detention center, so you are supposed to stay until you get the result. The worst case is a refugee applicant who was rejected 5 years after he applied.
Can I ask you, is it very common for an undocumented worker to actually be successful at attaining refugee status?
No, not really. It's very hard. It's really hard. You know, last year I met a guy. He's a Pakistan guy, but he said that he stayed in detention center over 1 year, almost 2 years. But I'm not sure. But maybe 1 year, over 1 year. But he would go back to his country because usually, you know, the immigration office rarely believe if you are undocumented and then you are in a detention center and then you apply, you know, refugee status. It's very hard to get, you know, refugee status.
So what other problems are there that occur inside the detention centers?
A problem is about body searches, you know, before you are, So according to a study, only 35% of detainees have, their bodies were searched in a separate room. Mm-hmm. And 34% of detainees were even strip searched. But it isn't supposed to happen. So it's ridiculous. Also, 18% of women detainees were searched by male officers.
So are there actually laws against strip searching somebody?
Yeah, but it's not really against the law, but there is no regulation, you know, immigration officer can do that. And then another problem is there are many complaints about the lack of fresh air in detention centers. Also, many detainees complain about having to wear dirty uniforms because the immigration office provides only one set for each detainee. Another problem is the lack of exercise. 50% of detainees don't have any chance to exercise. 30% of detainees are able to exercise only one or two times a week. Yeah. I also want to tell you about the special difficulties faced by women and children. Women detainees often feel sexually vulnerable. Generally, detention centers have female officers, but immigration offices doesn't have enough female officers. So also, when an undocumented worker who has kids is arrested, their children are left alone at home to fend for themselves. It's a really big problem.
Yeah. Do you know, like, even what happens to these kids when they're left at home? Do they go under government care, or do most of them just end up with friends?
There is no, you know, government, you know, care system. And then maybe they can send, you know, their kids to other relatives or friends, but also other people are all busy. And also, yeah, so I heard that sometimes, you know, very young little kids, you know, stayed in a cell with their parents or mother. Wow. Sometimes it's very inhumane.
And I just wanted to ask you, because you've mentioned all these sort of violations by immigration officers, searching people, say, in their homes and workplaces without permit.
Yep.
Is there any sort of repercussion from the government, or are they ever held accountable for these actions by the public or by the government?
By the government, I don't think. Yeah, no. But one report was written by, you know, human rights. I forgot the English name, but the human rights. Yeah,
advocate.
The National Human Rights Commission of Korea is a little bit. Yeah, it's a kind of, you know, governmental organization, but not really, you know, government department. So, yeah. So I think, as I know, the report is only report, you know, official report.
And they didn't actually recommend any punishment for these immigration officers who end up violating the law, or it didn't get put into action?
Usually, you know, National Human Rights Commission of Korea recommends, you know, and criticize, or, you know, yeah, criticize the immigration's act, you know, behavior. But yeah, the immigration office or government was, you know, is supposed to accept their recommendation, but often they just listen and do nothing. Yeah, because, you know, the National Human Rights Commission is doesn't have, you know, strong power to force. Yeah, that is the problem. But nowadays, the conservative government want to reduce the size of that commission.
Okay, well, earlier you talked about a fire at one of the detention centers. Can you tell us a bit about this?
Let me tell you about this one very tragic incident. It happened 2 years ago in February 2007 at a detention center in the South Korea city of Yeosu. A fire broke out early in the morning, and 10 foreign migrant detainees were killed, and many others were wounded. The staff tried to put out the flames by spraying fire, you know, extinguishers through the bars of the cell. But the most horrible thing is they didn't unlock the cell doors to free those trapped inside. they said that they were afraid that, you know, detainees would escape. What a ridiculous. Migrant workers behind the locked doors and barred windows were forced to breathe, you know, in the toxic fumes from burning mattresses. And then these fumes were the cause of most of the death and injuries.
Wow.
The migrants held at the Yeosu Detention Center came from a number of Asian labor, you know, exporting countries, but 9th of the 10 killed in the fire were Chinese workers, and the 10th was an Uzbek national. The inhumane treatment of the detained migrant workers continued after the fire. 3 injured migrants were handcuffed to hospital beds because, you know, immigration officers, you know, wanted to, prevent, you know, they would escape. In addition, the Korean government at first refused to reveal information about the incident to the families of the victims and to Korean civil society organizations. And so, so labor and human rights organizations condemned the South Korean government for its responsibility in causing the tragedy and its inhumane, you know, handling of the matter. A couple of weeks after the fire, a joint committee of over 60 human rights, labor, civic, and religious organizations held a huge rally in central Seoul, attended by over 10,000 organization members and migrant workers. The protesters called on the government to provide adequate medical treatment and compensations to the victims of the fire, and to stop the violent crackdown against migrant workers and to close all foreigner detention centers. The protesters also called for the legalization and granting of full labor rights to all migrant workers residing in Korea, as a way to fundamentally solve the legal migrant, you know, problem.
Do you know if anything came out of those calls for action from the protesters? If any of their demands were met by the government?
You mean
they were calling for the legalization and granting of full labor rights? Has any of that happened?
Yep.
has the government legalized or actually changed the laws around migrants due to this incident?
Not really, you know, fully changed, but gradually the government a little bit changed, you know, revised the policy. Yeah. It is hard to say, government changed a lot, but they changed little by little, but mostly, you know, in order to help, you know, the owner of factories, not for, you know, labor.
Okay.
Not for the labor rights.
Okay, well, thanks so much for bringing us the story, Sunuk.
Thank you.
Sunuk Lee is a new contributor and member of the Starkraven Media Collective, and she has also studied the issue of human rights of migrant workers in South Korea.